Clue number two.
Paul's been slain in a bloody car crash.
This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one, and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you good people, for I found a place for me.
Welcome to the Vinyl Garage. I'm Dave Nelson, your host, and for the next 60 minutes, we'll explore the lesser-heard side of rock, a world consisting of album cuts and B-sides, along with a healthy dose of vinyl history and commentary, from the blues of the 30s to today's new releases. We have a lot to do, so let's get started. The alleged car crash and subsequent death of Paul McCartney supposedly took place at 5 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, November 9th, 1966, and was replaced by the winner of a Paul McCartney lookalike contest by one William Shears Campbell. At least that's the story. It took until 1969 for the story to come to the mainstream when Detroit DJ Russ Gibb on WKNR mentioned it to his listeners, who took it as truth and found more clues of their own. Thanks to the clues that were specifically hidden by the guilty conscience of the surviving Beatles in their music and on their album covers, the rumor took on a life of its own, just to justify this ridiculous myth. Or was it? Clues to his death are many and profound. Did Paul die? Have we been listening to an imposter all these years? It could explain silly love songs, the entire Wildlife album, and the Michael Jackson stuff, and most importantly, why he didn't sign a prenup before he married Heather Mills. These and other mysteries this week on the Vinyl Garage. To fully appreciate this week's show, you will need to dig out your Sgt. Pepper and Magical Mystery Tour albums. The LP they were working on at the time of his demise was Sgt. Pepper, and obviously, it would be the first Beatle record to legitimately have included clues. Although that didn't stop some clue hunters who found some on Revolver LP. George's Taxman includes the line, "If you drive a car, and if you get too cold, you could hear what could be Paul afterwards." Listen.
If you drive a car,
I tax the street.
If you drive two seats,
I tax your seat.
If you get too cold,
I tax the heat.
If you take a
I know, it's a bit of a stretch, but it's Sgt. Pepper that could have chronologically included legitimate clues, starting with the title cut, which we, the audience, are introduced to the new singer, the one and only Billy Shears. And do we really think that the real Paul would sing out of tune?
up and walk out on me. Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help from my friends.
The Sgt. Pepper album cover was full of imagery, so much to look at that many are still seeing new things buried in it, pun intended, along with a series of clues that prove the myth. The cover looks like a graveside service, with flowers, freshly dug soil, and the many interesting people who have come to pay their respects. Behind Paul, holding his hand directly over his head in the sign of a benediction, is comedian Izzy Bond in the role of the preacher. The lower right-hand corner of the cover shows a doll in a green dress looking at what appears to be a toy car going over a cliff of purple flowers. When did we say the accident supposedly had occurred? All you had to do is refer to cut 6, side 1.
Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock as the day begins. Silently bedroom door, leaving the note that she hoped would say more. She goes downstairs to the kitchen, clutching a handkerchief. Quietly turning the back door key, stepping outside, she is free. We gave her most of our lives.
Is leaving.
Sacrificed most of our lives.
Oh,
we gave her everything money could buy.
She's leaving home after living alone for so many years.
Father snores as his wife gets into a dressing gown, picks up the letter that's lying there, standing alone at the top of the stairs. She breaks down and cries to her husband, "Daddy, our baby's gone. Why she treated us so thoughtlessly? How could she do this to me?"
Sgt. Pepper was the first rock album whose lyrics were important enough for the band to print. And in this case, they appear along with the four Beatles on the back cover. Paul has his back to the camera. Each Beatle, except Paul, holds his hands in an unusual, unnatural manner. George was pointing upwards. John holds his hand in a V pattern, and Ringo intertwines his hands in the shape of an E, spelling L-V-E. With Paul not contributing, remember he's dead, the O to spell love. George is pointing at the line Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock to make sure that we know the significance of that. And directly to the right of Paul's head is Without You. Still more coincidences? All of the last three songs on the LP are significant to the Paul is Dead myth. Good Morning, Sgt. Pepper Reprise, and Day in the Life. Good Morning begins with the line, nothing to do to save his life, call his wife in. Although he was not married to Jane Asher at the time, and wouldn't marry until 1969 when Linda Eastman became the first Mrs. McCartney. Sgt. Pepper Reprise on side two has at the very end, before it mixes into the song A Day in the Life, some shouting. Listen carefully. You'll hear Paul is dead, really, really dead. And of course, according to the song A Day in the Life, he blew his mind out in a car.
To save his life, call his wife in. Nothing to say, but what a day. How's your boy been? Nothing to do, it's up to you. I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, yeah.
Going to work, don't wanna go. Feeling low down. Heading for home, you start to roam. Then you're in town. Everybody knows there's nothing doing. Everything is closed, it's like a ruin. Everyone you see is half asleep. And you're on your own, you're in the street. After a while you start to smile. Now you feel cool. Then you decide to take a walk by the old school. Nothing has changed, it's still the same. I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Good morning, good morning.
Everyone you see is full of life. It's time for tea and meet the wife. Somebody needs to know the time. Glad that I'm here. Watching the skirt, you start to flirt. Now you're in gear. Go to a show, you hope she goes. I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Good morning, good morning.
Oh, past. I saw the photograph. He blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. Face before, nobody was really sure if he was on the house of love. I saw a film today, oh boy. The English army had just won the war. A crowd of people turned away, but I just had to look. Having read the book, I'd love to turn you
up Sgt. Pepper by going back to the cover. There is a strange-looking trophy placed between the L and the E in Beatles, forming the word lies. Add in the word here, which is directly below Paul on the bass drum in Lonely Hearts, and the yellow-flowered, obviously left-hand bass guitar that appears to say Paul. You might need to squint. Making Here Lies Paul. Now, death theorists say here was intentionally misspelled just to throw us off the trail. The aforementioned guitar has only three strings symbolizing the loss of one of the Fab Four. Now, inside the gatefold, notice Paul is wearing a patch on his left sleeve that looks like OPD, or officially pronounced dead, which is the official British phrase or the equivalent to our dead on arrival. Actually, it said OPP, or Ontario Provincial Police. It was given to him when he visited Canada. It is only the angle of his sleeve that obscures the second D. Mystery Tour, Step Right This Way. We're dying to take you away. The next stop on the Paul is Dead Tour. The film of the same name was the Beatles' first failure in the public eye since the death of Brian Epstein, who historically handled all of the logistics of their lives up to this point. Our four, or is it three, heroes booked a bus full of actors and a film crew and headed out to film the magic. But unfortunately, there wasn't any. The film bombed, but the music written for it didn't. Originally released in the UK only as a double EP, the US edition added four singles and released it as an LP, complete with a 24-page booklet. And, turning to page 3 in your booklet, Paul, dressed as an army officer, is sitting at a desk with a nameplate that says, "I was." But the first audio clue from the album is from George Harrison's song Blue Jay Way. The lyrics are, "There's a fog upon L.A., and my friends have lost their way. We'll be over soon, they said." Now, some death theorist here, after L.A., you can faintly hear Paul. After lost their way, you can hear died. And after they said, you can hear Paul is buried. Give this sample a listen, and then listen to the whole song.
Please don't be long.
You're listening to The Vinyl Garage.
Now we're Manuel.
The proceeding was recorded by the late Paul McCartney.
I'm dead.
Some random dialogue at the end of the Strawberry Fields Forever. Listening very closely, you'll hear I bury Paul. Finally, conclusive evidence, the smoking gun. Well, don't get too excited. It's actually just John being John, saying random stuff. He actually said cranberry sauce.
Yeah. the price will choose Edmund Allen Plus. Keep your knife upon the British people. Oh, I'm coming here again.
Serviceable villain.
You kissed the vice of my mistress, that is the
Is he dead?
Sit you down, father. Rest you.
Lennon's I Am the Walrus, unless Paul has claimed this one too, was actually the B-side to Hello Goodbye. It is said to be Lennon's intentional attempt to write a song no one was going to be able to analyze, filled with nonsense words. Upon completion, John was said to have commented, "Let them work that one out." It was also John's reaction to the Bob Dylan style of songwriting, saying in a 1980 Playboy interview, "I can write that crap too." Different versions of the song exist, and the one we heard is a hybrid available only on 1980's American Rarities LP. It incorporates the stereo mix, 6-beat intro, and the extra bar of music before Yellow Matter Custard, along with the recording of Shakespeare's King Lear, which brings us to Walrus's alleged Paul is Dead clue. As the song fades out, some heard, "Bury me, bury my body, Paul, you're darn near death, rest you." Actually kind of true, sorta. What was actually there was, "Oh, untimely death, what, is he dead? Sit you down, father, rest you." From the aforementioned BBC third program broadcast of King Lear. Lennon was apparently fiddling with a radio that was tied into the mixing board during the mono mixing of Walrus. Another logical explanation. Page 5 in your magical mystery tool booklet shows the band dressed in animal outfits. The black walrus was playing the piano, and clearly, the left-handed bassist was not the walrus. And by the way, there's no myth of a black walrus as a harbinger of death in any culture.
I was a walrus. Paul wasn't the walrus. Just saying that to be nice, but I was actually the walrus.
You say yes, I say no. You say stop, I say go, go, go. Oh no. You say goodbye, I say hello. Hello, hello.
Was hello goodbye saying hello to William Campbell and goodbye to Paul? Probably not. Turning back to the booklet, go to page 8, turn it 90 degrees clockwise, and squint. There is clearly a skull visible. Page 12 and 13, the centerfold, shows the boys pretending to play their instruments. The drumhead clearly says, love the three Beatles, not four. Paul is not wearing shoes, and we'll have more on that later. And the shoes he was wearing earlier have a red, bloody stain on them. Some say it's just an example of a printing error. Nothing in Your Mother Should Know, right? Just a nice song? Actually, when played backwards, and you have to wonder how many people spent how many hours listening to how many records backwards. There's a clue. Listen for Why Doesn't She Know Me? And Why Does My Ma Not Know I Died? Died. Oh, and he also gives an explanation for the deception. To make money. Give it a listen. Should Know wraps up the film Magical Mystery Tour, and in the final sequence, the Fabs, all dressed in whitetails, each have a carnation on their lapel. John, George, and Ringo's were red. Paul's was black. Paul says it's because they ran out of red ones. Maybe it's proof of how the filming was hit or miss with everything in disarray, but if you know what the final scene in your movie is and how the characters would be dressed, why wouldn't you have an adequate number of carnations? Let's get a bit psychoanalytical. Who is the fool on the hill? If it's Paul, is he the fool because he's dead, which is why he has the lyric state, lies perfectly still? Or is it William Campbell, someone in way over his head trying to be Paul, concerned that he will be ignored because of the sound he appears to make? I would say that you just can't make this stuff up. But they did.
Day after day, alone on a hill,
The man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him. They can see that he's just a fool. And he never gives an answer, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Well, on the way, head in a cloud, a man of a thousand voices talking perfectly loud, but nobody ever hears him or the sound he appears to make. And he never seems to notice, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Tell what he wants to do, and he never shows his feelings, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round.
We're wrapping up the visual clues from the Magical Mystery Tour LP. In the booklet on pages 18 and 24, Paul, as he was on the cover of Sgt. Pepper, once again has a hand over his head, as in a benediction. And from the movie, the band playing in the cabaret was actually the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band. And the song they were performing was Death Cab for Cutie. That's where the band of the same name came from, by the way. And Paul was considered to be the cute one.
Thank you. love is all you need. Love is all. 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 Love is all you need.
It had nothing to do with me. The first, there is a rumour that he is dead, actually, but the first I heard about it was in the press, you know, or from those, I don't know how it happened. It's a mystery to Paul, it was a mystery to me. None of us knew what it was about or whatever. But of course they credited it to me or Paul saying, you know, that it was publicity seeking, and we did it. It was too far out for us to have thought of it, you know. And it wasn't a very, I don't know, it was a peculiar thing. I don't know what it was about. Magical mystery tour. I told you. Goodbye.
I don't really believe the Paul is dead theory, since everything I presented in the previous 60 minutes can easily be discredited. But the tiny voice inside my head says that with the enormous amount of clues and the enormous amount of money to be lost, you have to admit that it could be remotely possible. The Beatles at their peak, which was about 1966, could ill afford the loss of one of its own, especially John or Paul. That would be like the Rolling Stones losing either Mick or Keith. And most importantly, the record label probably would do whatever it could to keep making money from the band. Could EMI Capital be that deceitful? Yeah, that I could believe. They treated the Beatles like cash cows while they were together, and for many years to come. Join the Garage next week for part two of Paul is Dead, as we explore Yellow Submarine, The White Album, Abbey Road, and Let It Be for clues, along with some more recent material you may be surprised to hear. So until next week, This is Dave Nelson. Thanks for listening.
Right,